All right, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18. On Sunday nights, we're in a series called Fuel for the Fire, Biblical Motivations for a Praying Life. And tonight, we're going to get biblical motivation from the master teacher himself, the Lord Jesus. We're going to study another one of his prayer parables. It has been called the parable of the unjust judge. I prefer calling it the parable of the persistent widow. You'll see why here in just a moment. So look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, if you will. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Amen. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And the title of the message tonight is Pray Like God Cares. Pray like God cares. Now, some parables require some effort to discover the interpretation of the parable. You may have to study the surrounding context. Maybe do a word study on one of the key words. Perhaps dig into the historical background to make sense of the story that Jesus was telling. And they made perfect sense to the people who were hearing them, but sometimes here we are 2,000 years later and we can't get the big idea of what Jesus is trying to communicate. There is no confusion about the interpretation of this parable. Jesus gives it to us right off the bat in verse 1. Look there again, if you will. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus told this story because he wants us to continue praying and not to faint in our prayers. The word faint does not mean to pass out. We're not talking about what some of you guys do in the middle of my messages. It means to grow discouraged spiritually. It means to quit. Jesus is saying we should not allow discouragement to cause us to quit praying. Now, why would we become discouraged in our prayer lives? What could discourage us that would cause us not to pray? I think there are many things. Unconfessed sin is certainly one. It's hard to pray with consistency when every time you pray, your conscience is screaming about some unconfessed sin in your life. Another reason we get discouraged and we stop praying is misplaced priorities. We get a Martha mindset. So busy serving even the Lord that we forget the best thing is to be in his presence. And misplaced priorities can discourage a praying life. Spiritual immaturity can discourage prayer. Maybe we're early in our Christian lives and we haven't been taught how to pray or why prayer is so important. And I'm going to tell you, there comes a time when we need to grow up, study the scriptures, find out what the Lord says about prayer, and do it. Well, in this passage, Jesus addresses a particular matter that will discourage your prayer life if you're not careful. It's the issue of delay. The thought that we will have to wait a long time to get that for which we pray. And because we ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and do not receive, we grow discouraged and we give up. Who likes a good delay? You know, when I get on I-35, I get on 35 to go 70. Yes, sir. I do not get on 35 to sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic. Traffic discourages me. It makes me want to give up on the Metroplex. And there have been a few traffic jams that I have sat in over the years where if a church from a small town had called me to be their pastor at that moment, I'd be preaching there tonight and not here. A few years ago, the airlines were having an unbelievably tough time, and it was difficult for those who fly regularly. I had 7 straight flights delayed by American Airlines over a matter of months. And I have tiny status with them and a few miles. I have every reason to stay with them as my airline, but I almost got discouraged and went to Delta or another airline. Let's be honest, delay is frustrating. It's one of the most frustrating things in life. And I think it's one of the most frustrating parts about prayer. Sometimes we pray about something and no sooner do we say amen than we have the answer. Sometimes we pray and by the end of the day, God has come through. But sometimes we'll pray for weeks and months and decades and not get the thing for which we sought the Lord. I wonder tonight how many of you have ever prayed for something for a long time and God did not answer your prayer the way you wanted him to answer it. And how many of you during that long season of delay were tempted to be discouraged and to stop praying about it, maybe even to stop praying altogether? That is a real temptation when it comes to prayer. Delay is discouraging. It can be a wet blanket on the fire of your prayer life. Well, this passage addresses the longest delay of them all. It addresses the delay of God's judgment. In Luke 17, the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God is coming. Now, he answers their question by saying, the kingdom of God is not exactly what you think it is. The king's already here. His kingdom will be spiritual before it will be physical. You could get on board right now if you wanted to. Amen. What they were really asking is when God was going to come, judge the Gentiles, and set up his kingdom in Israel. And so Jesus anticipated that's the question they were really asking, so he answers it. He says, the kingdom of God is going to come, but you're going to have to wait a while for it. It's going to be like the days of Noah. Remember the story of Noah? Noah and his family built an ark for 100 years, telling people that judgment was coming. And everyone laughed at them and mocked at them. They continued eating and drinking and getting married and having children because the delay had gone on so long, people thought that judgment was not coming. But when it came very suddenly. And by the time the rain started falling, it was too late to do anything about it. Either you were inside the ark or you were outside the ark and your fate was sealed. Jesus said, when God comes to set up his kingdom and judge the world, it's going to be a lot like that. It's going to be a long time from now. There's going to be a delay. And because there will be such a long delay, people will believe he is not coming. But one day when no one's looking for it, he will come suddenly. And by the time people figure out what's happening, it will be too late. Talk about a long delay. Since the Garden of Eden, God's people have been begging God to come back and fix our broken world. Remember, Eve prayed about it. She named her son Seth. That word meant appointed. It was her prayer that this would be the appointed seed who would crush the serpent's head all the way back 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. Someone prayed that God would come and judge. For all of the Old Testament, they prayed that prayer 4,000 years. God come. God judge this world. Do something about this brokenness and this suffering. And after a long time of waiting, finally Jesus came. But not to rule and reign as they anticipated, to suffer and die. Some of the promises for which they had been waiting so long were yet unfulfilled. And as he ascended up into heaven, the angels announced, he will come back. Amen. He'll do everything he said he would do, but you're going to have to wait. And the apostles believed that he would come during their lives. And they lived that way. They prayed for him to come in their lifetime. In fact, the very last prayer in the Bible is a prayer that God would come and judge the world. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, maybe you have waited years for an answer to your prayer. Maybe you have even waited decades for an answer to your prayer. God's people have waited for 6 millennia for an answer to this prayer. So it hasn't happened yet. And so, of course, there are many saying, maybe it won't happen. Maybe we should stop praying for it. Maybe we should stop looking at the eastern sky. Maybe we should stop living like Jesus could return at any moment. Maybe we should stop praying, even so come, Lord Jesus. And here's what Jesus is saying in this parable. No. Don't let delay discourage you. Do not lose heart. Keep praying. And he tells this parable to motivate them to pray persistently and to not lose heart. Now, the parable is much like the parable that we studied several weeks ago about the sleepy neighbor. This particular parable has 2 main characters, an unjust judge and a powerless widow. And to say it simply, this judge is just the worst. Jesus tells us he does not fear God. He does not respect man. 2 bad qualities for someone who is a judge, especially who judges in matters of the Old Testament law. Because he does not fear God, he does not respect men. In other words, everyone who knew this judge knew better than to expect fair treatment when their case was brought to his court. Don't expect to get anything from him unless you have something to offer him. Well, that's bad news for the second main character in the parable, the powerless widow. And she has nothing to give this judge, nothing with which to bribe him. A widowhood is always a tough lot. It was especially a tough lot in the first century. God in the Old Testament had put certain provisions in the law for his people to take care of widows in the land. But in the first century, those laws were not being followed. Women, if they had a legal case to offer, were really in a tough situation because they actually weren't allowed to speak in the court of law. Men had to speak for them. And the only reason in this culture a woman would actually talk to a judge is that she had no one to represent her. Not a son, not a brother, not an uncle, no man in her life available to represent her case. She had no money to hire a lawyer who could plead her case for her. She was truly destitute. Someone called her on the phone one day, claiming to be the IRS. And they needed her social security number so they could get her an early refund. And this poor widow fell for it. And some guy in Nigeria now owns her family farm. Someone took advantage of her financially. And so she has to go to the judge to help her out of it. So she goes to the judge. She makes her case. I've been wronged. Here's what the law says. You should do something on my behalf. But Jesus said the judge doesn't care about anyone but himself. No bribe, no can do. And get this lady out of her. So she does something audacious after the judge says no. She shows up the next day. And she makes her case. She talks about what's happened to her and what the law says and how the judge should rule on her behalf. And he says, you have nothing to offer me and no standing in this court. Get out of here. You know what she does? She shows up the next day. She says, I've been wronged, and here's what the law says, and here's what you're supposed to do about it. He says, get that woman out of here. You know what she does? She comes the next day. And she says, I've been wronged, and here's what the law says, and here's what you should do about it. And you know what she does? She comes back the next day. And she says, I've been wronged, and here's what the law says, and here's what you should do about it. The judge says, get her out of here. She has no standing here. You know what she did? She came back the next day. And she says, I've been wronged, and here's what the law says you're supposed to do, and here's what you must do on my behalf. And he says, get her out of here. And so you know what she did? She came back the next day. Are you getting annoyed with me saying the same thing over and over and over again yet? Yeah. So was the judge. And he says, I usually don't help people like this, but she is wearing me out. Literally, she's giving me a black eye. Not physically, but reputationally. So she will stop showing up and making a scene in my courtroom and ruining my reputation in this community. Fine. Here's my judgment. You are avenged. Now, what is Jesus saying to us about God in prayer? Is Jesus saying that if we bother God long enough, that we will wear out his supply of patience and he will just give us what we want? No, that's not the principle you're supposed to take from this parable. It's just the opposite, as a matter of fact. If an unjust judge will give justice to a powerless widow because of her persistence in asking, how much more will a just God give justice to his people when they do not give up but persist in asking? Now, he asked two questions to reinforce that principle. Look again at verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Amen. They're going to have to pray for a long time. But when God comes to avenge his people, it will happen fast, just like it did in the day of Noah. And when it happens, it will be too late to figure out what side you're on. You're on God's side or you're not. His second question is at the end of verse 8. Look there. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, the scriptures teach that when Jesus returns, there will be a believing remnant here on the earth. Now, that's just good prophetic interpretation. The question is meant to be personal, not prophetic. If Jesus were to return in your time, if the Son of Man were to come while you were alive and supposed to be praying persistently, will he find your faith? Will you be part of the people who did not allow delay to discourage them? Will you keep hoping and believing and praying for his return? Or will you allow his delay in coming to dampen your motivation to pray? Will you give up or pray through? Will you faint or will you finish? It's really a personal question meant to bring conviction about the persistence of our prayer lives. Now, in this parable, Jesus calls our attention to two truths that will help us defeat the discouragement of delay. And if we will keep these truths before us, they will motivate us to continue praying and not to faint. He says, in the first place, remember God's character. There is a contrast between the character of the judge and the character of God. Your God is not an unjust judge. In Moses' final sermon to the wilderness wanderers in Deuteronomy 32, he commanded them, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Do you believe those things to be true about your God? Do you believe that all his ways are just? That all his works are perfect? That he is a God of absolute truth without any shred of iniquity or falsehood? Do you believe that God is always just and always fair? We're supposed to believe those things. Those things are true. That's God's character. If those things are true, then Jesus is asking us to apply those things to your prayer life. Apply the fact that God is always just and fair to the thing that you are asking God to do. You've asked God to do something. He is either delayed in his yes or answered no. So let me ask you, did God get it wrong? Well, of course not. If he didn't get it wrong, then why would you get discouraged just because he asked you to wait a little while? Why would you get discouraged if he said no so he could give you something better? Would it encourage you more if God said yes and it was the wrong thing for your life? And of course, the answer to that ought to be no. It would encourage me if God did buy me what was always just and right and fair. Amen. And he does. Now, let me say, God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Noah and his family had to wait. They had to wait for the rain to fall. They had to wait for the flood waters to dissipate. But after a time of waiting, God eventually came through, didn't he? Sure he did. Abraham and Sarah had to wait. They had to wait a long time. But after all that waiting, guess what? They had a baby, and his name was Isaac. The Jews waited 400 long years in Egypt. But eventually, God came through. Israel waited 2,000 years for the coming of their Messiah. But eventually, God came through. Mary and Martha had to wait 4 days after their brother's death. But guess what? God came through. I just remind you tonight, God is never late. He is never early. He's always right on time. And if he messed up your prayer request, if he failed to do what was right for you at the right time, it would be the first time he ever messed up anybody's prayer request. Now, you've heard the statement, good things come to those who wait. That's true. I want to amend it. Good things happen to people while they wait. It's good to wait on God. It is. While we're waiting on God, we learn to trust him. While we're waiting on God, we learn to seek his face and not just his hand. We're real bad about that in our prayer lives. We learn to obey him even when it's hard, even when a reward for obeying is slow in coming. We have to wait. Are you parents? Isn't that what we're trying to teach our kids? And one of the main things we're trying to teach them is delayed gratification, right? That you do the right thing because it's the right thing, even if you don't immediately get a reward. I mean, if I have to give my kids an ice cream cone to get them to make up their beds in the morning, they're not obeying because they love and respect me. They're obeying for ice cream. Do we obey God only because he gives us what we want instantly and immediately? Or do we obey God because we really love him? Do we obey God because we really respect him and trust that he will get it right? We should keep asking because we trust God's character, and even if he says no or wait, because he is just and right to do it, he's doing right by me, and I can trust in his character. Amen. So if delay is discouraging you, remember, God is always just. Always. Secondly, not only trusting God's character, but trusting God's care for you. God is not an unjust judge. You are not a powerless widow. Not when it comes to your relationship with him anyway. Think with me for a minute. The widow had limited access to the judge. She was a woman with no right to speak to the judge. The woman lacked an advocate. She had no lawyer to speak on her behalf. The woman had no assurance that the unjust judge would eventually do the right thing. Yet she kept asking. The woman eventually developed an antagonistic relationship with the judge, so much so that he said, "This woman is wearisome to me." Think about her relationship with the judge. It is just the opposite of your relationship with God. She had limited access to the judge. Believer, we have unlimited access to God by the blood of Jesus. She lacked an advocate, someone to take up her case and speak on her behalf. But the Bible says we have an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. She lacked assurance that her judge would do right by her. We have blessed assurance through the promises of this book and the power of the cross that our God will do right by us. Amen. She had an antagonistic relationship with her judge. We have an affectionate relationship with our judge. We are his children. He is our father. And according to this verse, his elect, his special people. What Jesus is saying is that we need to lose the widow's mindset. And we need to pray like God cares. Prayer is not laying hold on God's reluctance. We do not have to persuade God to do right by us. Prayer is laying hold of God's willingness. He wants to do right by us. And if we come all the way into the Holy of Holies, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the advocacy of the Son of God, into the presence of the person in this universe who loved us the most and has proved it time and time again. And in spite of all of that, he still says no or wait. Then we have to have the faith to believe he has a really good reason for that. Because we know how much he cares for us. I tell you, his delays are not necessarily his denials. And his delays are not necessarily a sign of his disapproval. He could not love you more. And he shouldn't have to prove that every time you pray. You shouldn't grow discouraged with his character or his care with you just because he tells you to wait or because he doesn't give you what you ask for. So, how do we deal with the discouragement of delay? We remember God's character. He never gets it wrong. He always gets it right. We remember God's care for us. He could not love us more. The question is not, will he answer prayers and keep promises to us? That is not the question. He has proved those things time and time again. The question is, will we keep praying? Will we keep believing? Or will we lose heart? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this motivating parable that reminds us just who we're dealing with in the matter of prayer. A just judge who always weighs things fairly and always dispenses just what we need at the time we need it most. Thank you for reminding us that you are our loving Heavenly Father, that we are not powerless when we come into your presence. We are loved, and you want to do right by us. Perhaps there's someone here tonight, and they have been praying for someone to come to Christ for years and years and years. And to be honest, the person just seems so cold, and the situation is just so bad, and they've given up. May they take up that soul again in prayer and not faint. There are many in this room who, for far longer than I, Father, have begged you to send revival to our country. And as we look around, the situation does not look good. And there are many Christians in our country who, to be honest, have grown so discouraged that they've just stopped asking. They've stopped believing it could come. Lord, if that's us, if the discouragement of delay has caused us not to pray fervently for revival in our church and in our country, then may we take up that cause again, because we ought always to pray and not to faint. God, help us to be persistent, to pray through, Help us not to give up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.